For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Not only is this another edition, it is our last live episode for 2023. Hard to believe it's already the end of the year. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all my loyal listeners. Whenever you're tuning in and from wherever you're tuning in from, we have an amazing guest in store for you today. We have a fascinating show that I think will really get you thinking about things maybe just a little bit differently than you're used to. So let's kick it off. Of course, we're starting off these days with a blog post that I wrote a couple of years ago. I'm just kind of going in order. So, you know, I didn't cherry pick this one. It's just the next one on the list from where I started. And this one is entitled, and I think this is a good way to finish off the year, "Love is not a feeling. It is an unconditional state of being." There is a lot of talk about love this time of year. Mostly, it is focused on the love of another, on our intimate relationships. Yet there is so much more to this intricate thing called love. There are other obvious relationships of love, such as the love of a parent, of a child, or a sibling. There is the love of a close friend, a mentor, or a student. Yet all of these external relationships are not nearly as important as our closest relationship, the one we have with ourselves. And to love ourselves is the primary relationship in our life. For the experience of love cannot come to us if we do not let it in. In order to let it in and truly make it a part of our life, we must first have that connection with our own heart. It is not about a temporary feeling we have when we are with someone else. For we all feel good when we are with someone who loves us and we love them. Yet the only person we are with every day, all day long, is ourselves. In those quiet moments when we are alone with ourselves is far more telling than any moment with another person. How do we really feel about being with ourselves? Are we comfortable in those times or distracted? Do we appreciate ourselves or do we judge ourselves? Can we connect to our own heart when no one else is around? For love is not a feeling. Love is a state of being. Either we are in love or we are not. We either come from a place of love or we do not. And that connection to love is not something that goes away when things are not going well. Love is greater than our hurts or unfulfilled desires. It brings us back home to ourselves. And from that place, we can love others. Yet when we struggle to find a way to love ourselves, we will always struggle with our loving relationships. Having a close, intimate relationship with someone is not about meeting each other's needs or some form of codependency. True love is about sharing a deep connection with our heart, with another who is also connected to their heart. To truly know ourselves and all our faults and still love ourselves is the deepest expression of love there is. When we come to that place, it is then simpler to share that love with someone else. A love that comes with no expectations. A love that is unconditional. For that is what true love really is, an unconditional experience of ourselves and another. The love that comes from that place lasts throughout an entire life, even if those involved are no longer together. So where in your own life can you find more love for yourself? How can you be more unconditional in your love for another person? So obviously, I think I wrote this blog in February a couple of years ago. And I guess I just wanted to give a different take on love, because in February, so much is around finding your soulmate and love and, you know, these Hallmark cards and roses and all that kind of stuff. And what I've come to truly believe and understand over my years of doing my own personal work is that all love starts in one place, and that's in our own hearts, and that's the love for ourselves. Because when we truly love ourselves, no one can ever take that away. No hurt can ever take that away. No betrayal, no mistrust, no disloyalty can ever take that away. And so, and I guess this is kind of appropriate for this time of year. We're celebrating the holiday season, the changing to the new year. I mean, this is also a time of family and friendships. It's also a time of love. And it can be a very difficult time because a lot of people have a hard time with their families. Not surprisingly, our families trigger us more than anything else. Yet we can, when we can truly cultivate that love of self, then we can share that love with others from an unconditional place. Because if we love ourselves, then we don't need anyone else to love us. Doesn't mean we don't want to share that love with another. It doesn't mean we don't want to be loved. Of course, we all do. All human beings have this innate desire to be loved. But when we start with loving ourselves, when we've unwound enough of our trauma and enough of our challenges that have cut ourselves off from our own hearts, when we've gotten past that, even if we're not fully past it, but past it enough to truly love our own hearts, then we come from a very powerful place, a very powerful place of love. And then when we come to share that with another, we can share it from a much more unconditional place. Maybe as human beings, we can never truly be unconditional. Or maybe just in this society, it's much more difficult. But I truly believe the more we cultivate, and this, I'm talking about loving ourselves. I'm not talking about an egocentric, narcissistic, self-centered love where everything is all about us. but I'm just talking about truly honoring and seeing the depth of our own soul, of our own heart, and falling in love with that. And just because we see that doesn't mean we can always be that. But the more we do our own work, the more we develop ourselves as human beings, the more we let go of all those things that no longer serve us, the closer we come to that state of true unconditional love. So I guess this is quite an appropriate blog post for my last live show of 2023. Again, the title of that blog post is Love is Not a Feeling. It is an Unconditional State of Being. You can find that and all my other blog posts on talkradio.nyc. And you can also find it on my own personal site of theconsciousconsultant.com. And now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show author and professional astrologer, John Sandbach. John has been practicing professional astrology for over 57 years. He has written books about color, the tarot, energetic healing, and astrology. He is known for his interpretations of the degrees of the zodiac through the Chandra symbols. Got to ask him about that. He is also a poet and a novelist. He does private astrological counseling as well as tarot and psychic readings. All of his work coordinates metaphysical ideas and is based on Kabbalistic thought as well as other mystical traditions. He has had 2 years of training in Gestalt therapy and taught energy healing, flower essence therapy, gem and mineral therapy, Chinese meridian therapy, and Reiki for over 10 years. In his most recent book, Soul Journey Through the Tarot, right here, is a manual which teaches you how to do tarot readings. It also, but so much more. It also teaches you the basics of astrology, as each one of the tarot cards is linked to a planet or sign. It also explains a system of numerology linked to the tarot that can be used to interpret names, dates, and give life and to give life readings. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, John.
I'm so happy to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. I have to tell you, when I got this book just a couple of days ago and I started to look at it, it is so thick and so full of great information. I'm like, ooh, this is going to take me some time to get through.
Yeah, it's pretty hefty, actually.
I'm just curious. I want to talk about your background, but I'm just curious, how long did it take you to write this book?
That's an interesting question. You know, the original version of that book was from about 1975.
Wow.
And it was called The Golden Cycle, a text on the tarot. And it was criticized by a lot of people for its structure. People said there's a lot of good information, but it's difficult to use. It needs to be structured in a better way. So when Inner Traditions accepted it for publication, they put me with a woman named Liz Perry, editor there, and she and I worked on the restructuring of it, and she did a marvelous job. The book, it's like taking a house and totally redoing it, you know. And not only did I redo it, but I added a lot of things to the book. So the book's been in process for about 50 years.
Wow. That's incredible. And I think it really shows with the depth in which you have in the book. So I'm just curious. I've had different astrologers on the show and the network. I've talked with a number of different people. I don't think I've had anybody who is a professional astrologer for as long as you have been. What was your very first introduction? Like, how did you get into this? Because way back then, it was not nearly as common or as accepted as it is today.
Oh, it wasn't common or accepted at all, really. This was before the time of computers. Yeah. And I was in late high school. And I got this impulse that I had to do it. I had to learn astrology. I had to learn how to draw up a chart. And so I went to Bennett Schneider Books, which was a bookstore in Kansas City, and they had a book called Books in Print. And I opened it up under astrology, and there was listed about, maybe 12 books.
Wow.
This is 12 books in print you could get in America on astrology at that time.
Wow.
So I ordered all 12 of them. And they came to me, and one of them was Llewellyn's Horoscope Maker and Delineator, and it told how to draw up a chart, but it was very hard to follow the directions. So in Kansas City is a library called Linda Hall Library. It's one of the biggest science libraries in the world. And I went over there and searched out information about how to calculate planetary positions and ascendants and everything you need to do a chart. And I think the first chart I ever did, I did by hand, and it took about 8 hours to do.
Wow.
And then later, I got better and better at doing them until finally I could do one in half hour. And then computers came along, and now it takes me about 15 seconds to do a chart. You just push a few buttons and there it is. So it's great. You know, I went from 8 hours to 15 seconds.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's one way in which technology has actually helped us as it has advanced.
Yeah, and it was just a compulsion that I thought, I've got to do this. I've got to do this.
Wow.
And then I had a friend, and she had all these other friends. And one of them asked me one day over the phone. I was at my friend's house, and she put me online with this other person. She said, "Would you do my chart?" And I said, I don't do readings. I don't know how to do that. "Oh, come on. You've been studying this. Try it. Just try it." And I said, okay. So I wrote her out an interpretation, and she paid me for it. I didn't even ask her for money, but she paid me. So then she started giving my number to her friends, and all these friends of friends were calling up asking for astrology readings. And that's how I became an astrologer.
Wow. So, that's a great story of kind of just saying yes to life, I call it, right?
Yes, and I was having fun. It was great.
Yeah, it's like just doing what presents. It's like, this is in front of you. People are asking you for it. So, okay, I'm going to do this. All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. So I got more questions about kind of how life has taken you, but we got to take our first break. So when we come back, I want to learn a little bit more of sort of where things went from there. And like, when were you, like, how long did it take you to really support yourself doing this full time? And what kind of interesting things have happened over your career? Okay.
Okay, great.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time, right here on talkradio.nyc, except for the last 2 weeks of the year. And we will be right back with our guest, John Sandbach, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with John Sandbach, author of Soul Journey Through the Tarot, a very key to a complete spiritual practice. It's really quite a tome, and something I think is somewhat representative maybe of your life, John, right? You put so much into this.
It is. There's a lot of my life in that book, yes.
Yeah. So you started off, again, you learned about it in the early days, you know, people just started coming to you. How long was it until you kind of said like, oh, like, this is what I want to do with my life. Like, this is like, I want to dedicate, do this full time, just work on doing this.
The first thing I had to do was give up piano.
And
yes, my father was very much against me doing the piano. And he was pressuring me. He was afraid I wouldn't be able to make a living as a pianist, you know, or as a teacher of piano at a university. He thought it was not a practical thing to be doing.
Hmm.
So once I kind of let go of that, astrology loomed large. I mean, I really wanted to get into it. So I just dove in. Mm. And I found people here and there who taught me things. My teachers were piecemeal, but some of them were very good and gave me some really good knowledge about astrology. And then I think the big turning point was going to an astrology convention and meeting Raymond Merriman, who at the time was probably the most well-known astrologer in America. And I had written a book. I wrote a book called The Dwada Shamsas, which was basically a channeled book about sections of the zodiac, mm-hmm. dividing the zodiac into 144 parts. It's an old Indian technique. So I wrote a book on this, and it was really just channeled. It just kind of fell out of me, so to speak. And Ray had seen the book. I went to Wiser Books in New York City,
yes.
And I asked them if they would. Donald Wiser was the head at the time. I asked him if he would publish my book. And he looked at it, he read it, and he wrote back and said, I find this book very, very interesting, and let me think about it. We'll think about it. Of course, I got all excited. Oh, wow. Samuel Wiser is going to publish this book of mine I wrote, you know. And then he wrote back and he said, you know, he said, I hate to tell you this, but we only publish older books, old things. You know, we don't publish new work or new authors. And he said, I just decided I don't really want to get into that at this time. So I have to tell you no, but I really hope that you find a publisher. And I was just very let down by that, very let down. Yeah, then one night I had a dream. And in the dream, Ray Merriman came to me and he was all dressed in white. And he was in kind of bright sunlight. So this white was glowing, you know, and he was talking to me. He was being very kind, and I don't know what he was saying, but anyway, it made a big impression on me. You know, I felt like I was seeing Ray Merriman's angelic side, you know. Mm-hmm. The very next day, he calls me and he says, are you still trying to get that book published? And I said, yes. I said, Wiser rejected it. He said, well, my wife and I have decided we're going to start a publishing company. We want to publish your book.
Wonderful.
And I said, great. And that was a big, huge turning point for me.
Mm.
He published several of my books after that and did a marvelous job with it and promoted me and helped me immensely. I would go to astrology conferences and teach there, lecture, and it was wonderful.
Wow.
So he was my, I would call him my astrological father.
Yeah. Beautiful. Were there any sort of challenges with doing that, with fully stepping into it, like, you know, criticism from your family or friends? I mean, did anyone kind of give you a hard time or were people?
My mother was very supportive of it.
Ah, okay.
My friends were intrigued by it. Yeah. And it intimidated me. It still intimidates me. It's a very strange thing to do because, you know, like when I look at your chart, I mean, I know so much about these things. I've assimilated so much information about astrology. But when I look at your chart, I see literally hundreds and hundreds of things, you know, and then we're going to sit down and talk about it for an hour. I've had to learn how to let spirit guide me. What to select from that chart to tell you about, and how to say it, how to get the information across to you, you know, talk about what's there. And I really look at astrology, the best astrology, the highest astrology is healing work.
Yeah.
It's for healing. Yes.
Absolutely. I'm curious because I saw you mentioned in your bio and in your book that in that first book you channeled something called the Chandra symbols. What are those?
Well, they are symbolic. Here's volume one of my. That's volume one of my book on the symbols, and each volume is about 500 pages long. Let me give you an example of a symbol. Like, I'll just pick at random. An old abandoned garden, everything under a blanket of ivy. That's the 19th degree of Sagittarius. So the idea is you hold that symbol in your mind and you let it speak to you. You tune into the energy of it, and then that has to do with the energy of that degree. And let's say you have Venus in that degree. Well, Venus is the planet of love and appreciation. So something about your appreciation of life and what you see as beautiful or valuable will be reflected in that symbol. So really, you use these symbols to do what I would think of as psychic astrology. And you know, and so there was a famous set of these degree symbols that were channeled by an astrologer named Mark Jones, and they're called the Sabian symbols. And those are still in very, very wide usage.
Okay.
Most astrologers know about what the Sabian symbols are and like that. Well, about 20 years ago, I had a friend and I was saying to her, you know, I've thought about channeling a set of degree symbols. And I keep thinking about it. She said, well, why don't you do it? And I said, well, yeah. She said, how about if I come over tomorrow morning and I'll help you? And she was very pushy. And, you know, so she did. She came over the next day and we had 360 cards, pieces of paper. And I'd written on each card like one Aries, two Aries, three Aries, up to 30. Every sign had 30, you know. And we laid them down. One by one, she'd pick up the card and I'd tell her the picture that came to mind and she'd write it down. And we kept doing that till we did all 360.
Wow.
And those are the Chandra symbols.
Wow. All right. You got me very curious. I'd love to know what's 2 degree Pisces.
Now, why did you bring that up? Because I was just looking at that before the show.
Because I'm like on the Aquarius Pisces cusp and I'm literally 2 degrees into Pisces.
Now, is it 2 degrees in some minutes?
Might be. I don't know. I'm going to have you do my chart and tell me.
Well, okay. If it's 2 degrees in some minutes, it's the third degree.
Ah, I see.
If it's 1 degree in some minutes, it's the second degree.
Oh, okay, got it.
So should we look at two?
Yeah, let's look at two.
Okay. I know what it is already because I was looking at it right before the show. A man turning into a werewolf.
Oh.
And what it's about is getting in touch with the deepest earth energy of your being. Getting in touch with instincts. Getting in touch really with your own animal nature and its wisdom.
Fascinating. Interesting.
Okay, yeah. Now, this book that I just showed you is really pretty complicated because it has four sets of degree symbols.
Oh.
Four symbols for each degree.
Why is that? Even,
well, because each symbol reveals another facet of the degree.
Okay.
You know, if you go to an observatory and look at 1 degree of the sky, there will be literally millions of galaxies in every degree.
Yeah.
So the amount of energy and information in each degree is gigantic.
Yeah, humongous. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, I'm going to stop there just because we got to take our next break, and I could just like keep going down this rabbit hole with you forever. but I have a ton more questions around different things that you touch upon in the book, and I do want to get to the tarot itself because tarot was sort of my.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger. Offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The introduction, I would guess, to things spiritual. And I'll tell you about that when we come back to break. From break.
Okay, that sounds great.
So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with John Sandbach, author of this book, Soul Journey Through the Tarot, and we will be right back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
What really drives success in business? Introducing Intangify, the show that explores the intangible assets that create value and growth. I'm Matthew Asbell, your host and an attorney focused on innovation. Join me Fridays at noon Eastern to discover how innovation, culture, and other intangibles shape thriving companies from startups to established businesses. We'll share strategies to unleash your business's true potential. Tune in live on talkradio.nyc Fridays at noon Eastern and Intangify your business today.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So John, this book is actually not about astrology per se, but about the tarot, though there's a lot of astrology in there. Tarot was one of the first things that got me sort of looking at spiritual stuff, because back when I was in high school, I was a junior in high school, and my girlfriend at the time had a tarot deck, and I'm like, oh, what's that? And she goes, a tarot deck. And she shows me how to use it. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Can I borrow it? And she's like, sure. And so I borrow it from her for a day. And I remember I showed it to someone in my homeroom class, this girl, and she goes, oh, like, I have a date tonight with a guy I really like, and we keep missing each other. And I really want to know, like, how things are going to go. Can you do a tarot reading for me about it? And I'm like, I don't know. Okay, sure. Let's try it. And so I had her shuffle the cards and mix in her question, and we do the traditional cross, and I kind of read it. And it's kind of like, well, it looks like things are going to start off okay. There's going to be kind of a bit of a problem, but things are going to work out okay in the end. And so then the next day I see her, and she goes, oh my God, I can't believe it. You were so right. She goes, oh, he comes over and we decided to go out, but then his car broke down, and then we couldn't do what we were supposed to do. So we ended up just staying in, and we talked all night long, and it was wonderful. We had so connected, da da da. Oh, that was wonderful. And so with that encouragement, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, maybe I can use this stuff a little bit. So that was one of my first experiences with the tarot. Of actually, I literally just learned it the night before, and then I did a reading for someone, and it was like, whoa, it like turned out fairly accurate. So we've been talking a lot about astrology. How did you get into tarot, and why is this book focused on tarot?
Well, you know, it was kind of like getting into astrology, in that I tend to kind of just slip into things, and it shows in my chart very strongly that I will go through episodes of just feeling this urge to do something, like, I've got to do it now. This is the time. It's like an apple falling off a tree. You know, it's finally ripe. It's ready to go. Mm-hmm. And I ran across a book called The Sacred Tarot by C.C. Zane. Mm-hmm. And C.C. Zane was the head of the Church of Light in California. Mm-hmm. And he had his own deck that went with that book. And I purchased that book. And he had rulerships, astrological rulerships, for each of the cards. And being an astrologer, that intrigued me. So I just digested that book. I mean, I read it over and over and over, and loved it. And it made so much sense to me, his rulerships for the cards. Mm. And the tarot helped to explain astrology, and astrology helped to explain the tarot. They're both what I call complete systems, in that they have everything in them.
Right.
They have all the universal principles in them. And so all my tarot work was then based on that book.
I see. And how long ago was that? Was that also a long time ago? Was that something more recent?
That was in the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, one question I've always had, and we used to have an astrologer who did a show on the network, Monty Taylor, who was a Jungian astrologer. So he used to, when he talked about astrology, he'd weave in all the archetypes and the planet and the myths behind the planet. He was very well versed in the Latin and Greek myths.
Yes.
And so it made astrology for me so rich, and gave me such a deep appreciation for it.
Yes.
I'm curious, how old, because I've heard differing things, but from all your research and working with both tarot and astrology, how old are these systems? Do we have any idea, or are we just totally clueless of how old they're so old?
I don't think we do have any real substantial idea. It goes back to about the 14th century, 1300s in Italy, where the first tarot cards appeared. But that's on the outer logical, historical level. Mm-hmm. On the inner truth level, I feel like the cards have a very strong association with the city of Fez and in northern Africa. Mm-hmm. And which was a very spiritual sort of place. And I think there was a group of Kabbalists there who put together the tarot. And the tarot was meant to reflect the wisdom and teaching of the Zohar, which is the primary book of Kabbalah, and 22 volumes long, just as like there are 22 cards in the major arcanum. Each one of those cards goes with one of the volumes of the Zohar.
That I didn't know. And that's one of the things in the book that you talk about is not just tarot astrology, but also the Kabbalah and how that relates to everything. What sort of brought the Kabbalah to the forefront for you?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, for a long time I was aware of the Kabbalah, but I didn't want to study it because when I looked into it, oh my God, it's so complex and very, it's like lace, all these ideas twirled around each other and all these technical terms and like that. So then I had contact, this was not that long ago, maybe 10 years ago, I had contact with the Kabbalah Center in New York City. What they have done is marvelous because they're not into all that technical intellectual stuff, which is good stuff. But what they're into is applied Kabbalah. Let's apply these principles to everyday life. And one time I called the Kabbalah Center and they give you free counseling there, or they did at that time. And I called and I said, you know, I'm having a lot of trouble with my business. My business is not going well. And that man said, well, you need to generate business by being giving. Why don't you buy a copy of the Zohar for someone? And the Zohar at that time, a copy of it cost $400. And I said, I don't have $400 to spend. He said, take a risk, do it. He says, you know, and I thought about it and I thought, so anyway, there was this bookstore, a metaphysical bookstore in Kansas City, and the Zohar emanates light, just the very book. It's like a magical implement. So I bought this bookstore a copy of the Zohar. And after I did, my business just started flowing. I mean, it went great. It was doing wonderful. So that's the kind of practical things that, you know, they help you with.
Wow. So how do you, for our audience, if you can maybe give them a little bit of an idea of how do you interrelate the tarot with the Kabbalah, with astrology, because it's all in here. It's all in this book, which is one of the reasons why I'm like fascinated with this book is I don't think I've seen one book that brings so much together.
Yes. Well, you know, as each card is ruled by a sign, then the astrology can help you to understand the card. And then the number on the card is not at all arbitrary. Like the Arcanum 12 is ruled by Pisces. And so the number 12 vibrates with Pisces and with the card. They all work together.
Gotcha.
And the that card, one of the things you can say that it's about is letting go. Letting go. See, we always put value judgments on our word, on our words, you know, like if you say, give up, people have this, oh, you're going to lose. You're going to lose the race. You know, you shouldn't give up, ever give up. No, giving up has its place. Giving up can be a great thing.
Yeah.
Giving up is a really good thing to do right before you die.
Yeah.
Because you're going to give up your body. You're going to give up this lifetime.
Yeah.
So you can go to a new lifetime, you know?
Yeah.
Giving up and giving in and letting go. When you let go of stress, you're giving it up, you know? So that's the really positive side of Pisces. It's the ability to let go in such a way that then it brings in a flood of universal cosmic energy. Because there's room for it now because you've given up the stress and the lesser concerns.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the things that I've learned from my wife, who's Chinese. She comes from Beijing. But yeah, this idea that at the appropriate time, giving up is could be the exact perfect thing to do.
Yes.
And that it's not something to be ashamed of, or it's not something to shy away from, that it's something that actually can help us.
Right.
So with the tarot, do you do individual tarot readings aside from astrological readings?
Yes. And on my website, johnsandbach.net, I have, you can go there to schedule a reading. Yes. I love doing individual tarot readings.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm curious. You know so much. Is there one aspect of what you do, whether it's the astrological readings, the tarot, the Kabbalah, numerology, is there one thing that you like gives you more joy than anything else, or is it all sort of equally fun to delve into?
I really love astrology and tarot, and I'd say the joy is about equal. One, I think my big process going on in my life is I'm moving away from the intellectual and toward the intuitive more and more. And, you know, astrology can be very intellectual.
Yes.
You know, they're almost like lawyers, the way they put ideas together, you know, and argue for a chart or something like that.
Yeah.
And my readings with astrology have grown more and more watery, rather than airy. Airy is the intellectual, watery is the emotional and the intuitive and feeling. And so I let that flow more and more. And what you need to do that is just trust.
Yes.
You need to trust.
Yeah. Just learning to trust and learning to trust what comes out of your mouth.
Yes, exactly.
All right. We got to take our last break. And when we come back, since this is our last show of the year, I would love to know if you have any insight based on astrological readings you've given over the year and things moving forward, what this past year astrologically, you know, if you can give us maybe a quick recap, and then what does 2024 look like astrologically and via the tarot? Okay, John?
Okay, that sounds great.
Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with author John Sandbach, author of the book Soul Journey Through the Tarot. And we will be right back to finish it all up in just a moment.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. So, John, I'm just curious. We don't have a lot of time left, but I'm curious, like, astrologically, numerologically, however you want to look at it, what has this past year been about in general? And I know, like, everyone's chart is different and people have different experiences, but just overall, what has it been about?
I think it's been about a restructuring. And that can mean a breaking apart, because, you know, to restructure something, you have to take it apart first.
Yeah.
And so really, there's a lot of chaos going on.
For sure.
In the world. But this chaos is hopefully creating openings for new energy to flow in. Sometimes things have to get bad enough before they get better.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on now.
Got it. So this is the storm before the calm?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I feel like what's coming is there's the potential now for all of us to make big spiritual progress. I think rapid evolution is very, very possible right now.
Right.
But if you're not on that wavelength, then the current could drag you under. So you really want to get on that, be on that spiritual wavelength. That's very important at this time.
So anything of significant in the chart for 2024, anything that we should be extra mindful about, or any time of the year that looks particularly challenging?
Let me look at that one.
Okay.
For 2024, you said?
Yeah, for next year.
You know, Pluto is in the very beginning of Aquarius all year. And so we're in the Aquarian age now. And Aquarius is about groups. It's about friends. It's about making connections. This is a really important year for connecting. One thing the Kabbalists say is that the most important thing you'll ever do in life is make connections with other people. This is so important, because as we share our light with each other, we magnify the light. And Aquarius is about groups. It's about friends. And there are groups and you know, and support. Aquarius is very much about support. And so 2024 is going to be a year of giving and receiving support. That's what we need to really focus on.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm sure that resonates with a lot of people. If someone's listening, yes.
You know, and Aquarius rules friends.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our best friends don't have bodies. You know, it's really good to make friends with angels, with spirit guides, with nature spirits, and those sorts of beings. So they're included in this friends. And of course, they are just wanting so much to offer their support to us. So when we reach out for them, ask for their support, and open to their support, that can be so empowering to us.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm just curious for our audience who maybe that they've heard of the tarot, they're familiar with astrology, but they're not well versed in it as you and I. I mean, besides your book, again, Soul Journey Through the Tarot, which is a wonderful book, very in depth about all this. How would you recommend, if someone has the interest, how to get started? Like, what's the easy way for someone to dip their toe in this water a little bit more? And to start to learn about all this, if they've not really taken the time to study it greatly in the past?
Well, even though my book is dense, I think it's a wonderful place to start.
Yes.
I would suggest to people too that you don't have to start at the beginning of my book and read it through to the end. This is something you can, once you kind of get an idea of the structure of it, you can just kind of dip into it and read parts of it here and there.
Yeah.
And then C.C. Zane's book, The Sacred Tarot, that's a great book.
Oh, okay.
That's another good starting point, I would say.
Gotcha. I'm curious, do you have a daily spiritual practice?
Oh, yes. Yes. I do transcendental meditation.
Ah, okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
I got into that back in the 1960s. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi,
mm-hmm.
who is just a marvelous guru, such a brilliant person.
Yes, absolutely. I have a number of friends who are way into TM.
What kind of spiritual practice do you do?
I have some ceremonial work that I do, and I meditate. I don't do formal meditation, but
yes.
The ceremonial work is what in particular, and it's healing work for me. And I work with people as well. So
wonderful.
That's really my life's calling. As much as I love running the station and doing my show and the other things that I do, that's all to support the more spiritual work that I do.
Yes. Now we can do this after the show, but I've got to get your chart information because I want to know whether you're two or three Pisces.
Okay.
You know, I looked up three Pisces and the image for that is an eye gazing out of the top of a pyramid.
Oh.
And somehow I bet that's probably what it is.
Yeah, that sounds good too. Yeah. All right. Well, we I apologize that, you know, we have to finish up the show now, but if people want to get in touch with you, learn about you, book a session with you, how would they do that?
Oh, johnsandbach.net. And also go and use my oracle because there's an oracle there where you can ask questions and it will pull from this 2-volume book for the answers.
Oh, cool. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, johnsandbach.net. Yes.
All right. And that's John, J-O-H-N, Sandbach, yes. SANDBACH.NET.
Yes, it is.
John, thank you so much for coming on my show today. It was a pleasure to have you.
I really enjoyed it. This has been really great.
Yeah, I felt like this would be a good way to finish off the year. And you do not disappoint. You're wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Sam.
Absolutely. And again,
you have a great day.
I most certainly will. Hang on for a minute. Again, his book, Soul Journey Through the Tarot. It's a wonderful book. It's over.
Yeah, and it's on Kindle too.
Oh, it's on Kindle too. Wonderful. Yeah. You can get it on Amazon. We'll have the link in the show notes. It's a great primer. It has so much in here and even some unexpected stuff, which for me is always a nice treat when I hit something so unexpected. And of course, I didn't get a chance to shout out our loyal listeners, Patty and Sanaya, as always. I so appreciate you both. Patty says, I have many decks, but I always go back to my first. I gave readings that were right on, but stopped. Yeah, that was me. My first deck was the Aquarian Tarot, and I always loved that deck. And Sanaya says, I witnessed a card reading, and I had an overwhelming sense that the person wasn't expressing her truth. I wanted to jump in there and tell her the rest, but it was awkward. Yeah, sometimes you got to be, I think, have some discernment when you select who you get a reading from. I'm a big believer.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to say what you need to say.
Yes. Well, thank you all so much. Remember, if you missed any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc. And if you want to listen to the podcast afterwards, we're on all the major podcasting platforms, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. Oops, Stitcher doesn't exist anymore. Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Remember, the station, we still have our Frank show tonight and our Friday shows tomorrow, but then the station, we're just going to be running repeats for the next 2 weeks, as is our tradition, to take off the last 2 weeks of the year to have a little break. But we will be back in the first week of January. January 2nd, we'll be kicking off the year with Dr. Mira Brancu's show, The Hard Skills. And stay tuned and join our newsletter on our website, because we will be announcing some new shows on the network in the early part of next year. So thank you all for tuning in. We will talk to you in 2024. Take care, everyone.
Listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
What really drives success in business? Introducing Intangify, the show that explores the intangible assets that create value and growth. I'm Matthew Asbell, your host and an attorney focused on innovation. Join me Fridays at noon Eastern to discover how innovation, culture, and other intangibles shape thriving companies, from startups to established businesses. We'll share strategies to unleash your business's true potential. Tune in live on talkradio.nyc Fridays at noon Eastern and Intangify your business today.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Brancu, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.